Welcome to Faith Victory Ministries International with Pastor Charles Entry. Please prepare your hearts and your minds to receive this great revelation from the Holy Spirit. May the Lord God bless you.
You know, we were trying to understand what life is all about because we said that Jesus Christ had saved us, and it is very true. But we as children of God, when we say we are saved, truly, what does it mean? You are saved from what? Brother Johnson made a statement. He said, Christ had come and bridged us to the Father. In other words, he had come and has taken us back in fellowship with the Father, which is great. So now, if you are here and you are still experiencing, you know, the ups and down type of life where you are struggling with sin, or you know that there is a sin in your life and you're still, you know, playing games with it, it is dangerous. Because I know you are a good person. You are a very good person. Church is moving forth. We are doing so many things, you know, evangelism and this and that. And we are being good to people too. But at the end of it all, if you're going to stand before our Lord Jesus Christ one day and the Lord tells you that you are not going to be on his side, but you are going to hell, then what is the purpose of all the goodness and everything else that you carry forth in the church? You see, so we mentioned only one. We said anger, the spirit of anger. It's a spirit. But sin itself, we know that sin is a law, and no one is exempt from law. Nobody. But to overcome law, it will take another law. To overcome the law, people of the world, they call it amendment. They are going to change something in the law. The law that we are operating with as of generation of grace or dispensation of grace, we are under the law of Christ Jesus in the Romans 8:2 that we talked about this morning. He said, for the spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free, or has made me free from the law of sin and death. So we have two laws here. One law is the law of sin and death, which is the law of Moses. But for 1,500 years, they could not overcome anything. All that they could just say, Lord, forgive me. But their sins were not cleansed. But today, we are standing on a better covenant. Holy Spirit has been given because Jesus has been glorified. And power has been given to the believer to move in the law in Christ Jesus, operate on a higher level to overcome the law of sin and death. So you don't have to die. You don't have to live with that, you know, continuously struggling with sin. You have to acknowledge it. It is important that a man comes to a point to acknowledge that by yourself you cannot make it. You can't make it. You need the empowerment of the Holy Ghost to help you. The moment that you know that this is the case, then it is wisdom to just yield yourself unto the hand of the Spirit of God. When there is no condemnation in the heart of a man, it changes everything. People are approaching God and they haven't condemnation. The devil is an accuser of the brethren. So this man is moving around and just, you know, accusing you before God. You are not worthy of this. God doesn't love you and this and that. But all that Jesus Christ has paid for all of them. We don't come before the Lord in condemnation. We come before God in victory. That is in our Lord Jesus Christ. So as you are moving forth, you have to know that you are indeed a child of God operating by the Spirit of God unto the glory of the Father. Then you can say that you can overcome anything that the enemy will throw on your way because power has been given. Hallelujah. We have a word of the day. And we titled it, Prayer is a Channel of Deliverance. Prayer is a channel of deliverance. You know, in other words, by means of prayer, God is delivering his people. By means of prayer, God is delivering his people. This is one area that, you know, we are not always approaching this area with the right mindset. Do you know that a man will pray when he is in need? You know, most of the time, we come before God and we are praying about our needs, or we come in prayer because we are being pressed by a situation. But when everything is fine, it is difficult to see a man going before the Lord in prayers. Because he said, what am I going to pray about? So people are thinking that we pray only when we have problems. No, we don't pray when we have problems. Because your little wisdom, heaven is so high and spiritual things are extremely high. When you are sleeping, you know, soundly and thinking that all is well, it is not what you think. It is about the spiritual principles. That is why Jesus Christ made the statement. He said that, you know, he's praying. So you also have to pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, pray without ceasing. Pray without, so don't stop praying. Prayer is a commandment. It's not an option. It's a commandment. You want to live, you have to breathe. You want to live, you have to breathe. So it is the breath of life. Prayer. A man that is not praying, you are subject to so many things and your life is at risk. You can be moving around, coming to church over and over and doing this, but if you don't understand this spiritual principle, your life is at risk. It's as simple as that. Because by the time that you are praying, prayer is doing so many things, not just what your needs that you are bringing before the Lord are concerned. It is about the spiritual principles that are subject to life, a Christian life, that you need to understand so that you will not sleep. Because by the time you are sleeping, enemy does not sleep. Wicked people, they don't sleep. They do not sleep. Because by the time, said they will not sleep until they have done mischief. In other words, they will not sleep until they have caused someone to fall. It's just wisdom for a man, a child of God, to have these principles in mind. This afternoon, we are going to see 8 different ways to confirm that prayer is a channel of deliverance. We said 8 of them. The first one is that we are delivered from temptations by means of prayer. We are delivered from temptations by means of prayer. And it is seen in Matthew 26 and the verse is 41. Jesus Christ made the statement. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It is very true. This is to tell you that prayer is not easy. Prayer, it is not what? Easy. So if you are, you know, of course, there are prayer levels of prayers. If you are just, you know, by the time you have gone to work and you come back, you are so tired after you have done everything else. And then, you know, you lie on the bed. Oh, Jesus, watch over me in your name. Amen. That is a very easy prayer. But prayer goes beyond that. The man who said this, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's to tell you that it is not an easy. The spirit wants you to stand and pray, but the flesh is lazy. The flesh is lazy. It's lazy. So, to overcome temptation, you have to overcome the activities of the flesh. To overcome temptation, you have to overcome the activities of the flesh. Temptation here, we have to understand what it means, because every single thing that is coming on our ways, The Lord God is the one that knows. You don't know most of the time what the enemy has prepared or what is ahead of you. But our Lord Jesus Christ knows it. And a prayerful man is someone that is constantly in contact with Jesus by the help of the Holy Ghost. So as a result of that, watch what 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says. He said, "They had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." God is faithful. "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So it is your constant communication that opened the channel for God to intervene on your behalf when there has been, you know, a temptation that is on the way. The Lord God will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. So in other words, temptations that are allowed, you know, in our lives, it is because God knows that you will be able to handle it. Because God knows that you will be able to handle it. He said that, you know what, there is no temptation but that which is common to man. So there is nothing that is coming to you as a temptation that has not happened before. But you see, the problem is this, is that it happened to someone and that person is no more. It happens to someone and that person is no more. But your fellowship with God, your constant relationship with God, it is you being faithful to God that he said God is also what? Faithful. If you don't care about God, what do you want God? The time that you are in trouble, that is the time that you are running to create a communication. The Lord said, who is there? The fellowship has to be there so that whatever that is being planned over your children, over your marriage, over your health, over your finances, every single time the Lord's eyes is open over your life. Why? It is because you are constantly in touch with heaven. So important. So prayer is not like an option or anything else. Prayer is the source of life. The source of life. You don't know what is ahead tomorrow, but God knows. God knows. That is why he said, pray and watch, lest ye enter into temptation. So temptations, they are meant to come. Temptations are meant to come, which means that, you know, if you are a child of God, the Lord said that pray so that you don't enter into it. You don't enter into it. So it's a trend that is just moving on, and people are getting themselves into these things, and they are not coming out of it. But you, because of your fellowship and your constant fellowship, God is going to be what? Faithful. God is going to be faithful. He will always make a way for you to be out. So this is an important subject, an important point, that a man is delivered from temptation by his regularly praying. Prayer. Prayer. So as you program to eat, you also have to program prayer in your life. As you program to breathe, you also have to program prayer in your life. Otherwise, your life can be cut short. People are exercising, they go and just subscribe themselves into this club, into that club, a fitness. You want to have good health. Have prayer life. You want to have good life, have a life of what? Prayer. It's not an option. It's a source of life. Number two, we are delivered from discouragement by prayer. We are delivered from discouragement by prayer. Do you know people that are committing suicide and all that? It is because the level of their discouragement cannot be handled anymore for them. But if you are a man, a child of prayer, There is nothing. You know, your source is the Lord. Your source of living is the Lord. There is nothing that will come on your way to be, you know, to discourage you to the extent that you are going to take your life. For what? Every single thing that comes on your way, what are you doing? You are bringing it before the Lord in prayer. Philippians 4:6. He said, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. But in all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, you have to let your request be known unto what? Unto God. And the moment that you have let your request, that is prayer, you have let your request known unto God, verse 7, he said, and the peace of the Lord that surpasses all understanding shall keep your mind and heart in Christ Jesus. So whatever that is programmed to discourage you, by the time you finish praying, God will grant you peace. The Lord God will grant you peace. His faithfulness will grant you peace. The problem has not been solved yet physically, but spiritually something has been done about the problem. It's just a matter of time. God has already located your issue. And the Lord is dealing with it. And the Lord is dealing with it. He is a spirit, and everything that he does it in the spiritual realm. And it shall be manifested in the physical. And the next thing you know, that thing that came to discourage you, that situation that the enemy presented in your life as a great temptation to discourage you, the God had already what? Solved it. And you are free. Simply because you are praying. So, the book of Luke, let me tell this story. Luke 18, the verses 1 to 8. The word says that, he said, Jesus Christ spoke this parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. So this parable that we are going to hear, it is for the purpose that you always have to stand and pray and not be discouraged, not faint. What is that parable? Jesus said this. He said, there was in a city a judge. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regard man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto this judge, saying, avenge me of my adversary, and he will not for a while. So this widow, we have in the city, the judge is there, and a widow, helpless woman, but being harassed. So the woman went to the judge and said, please, my situation is just desperate. I have no one to help me, but people are just looking for my problems all the time, taking me into situations and all. So please, help me, avenge me of this evil ones. And the judge will not. I'm not surprised, because he said he feared not God. Anyone that is not fearing God is capable of anything. When someone is not fearing God, he is capable of anything. And especially a judge that has no fear of God, it's a very dangerous one. Because he can condemn the innocent. People's life can be destroyed at all times. Satan can use him so much for his own purpose. And he is the ruler of a city. People's life are subject unto him. So he, you know, pride and everything has, and he has what? Power. He will not do what the widow was asking him for a while. But afterward, this judge said within himself, though I fear not God, not regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. So what is happening here is that this judge said, I don't fear God and I don't fear man. I have power. But I don't want to do anything for this woman. But thinking of this whole situation, let me do something. Because this woman has, she kept coming. Continuously coming and bothering me. Coming, asking the same thing over and over. Said, I'm going to do this, otherwise she will finish me by just always knocking at my door. So after the Lord has told this parable, this is what Jesus said. The Lord said, you have to hear what this unjust judge actually said. So, and shall not God, who is a greater judge, avenge his own elect, you that is precious in the sight of God? His own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of God comes, shall he find faith? Stay with your faith and understand the principles of prayer and continue living your life in the purpose of prayer in your mind. As far as you have not received the answer, please don't give up. Go over and over. They said that you have prayed about it. God is not deaf, that he has not heard your prayer. I don't care if God is deaf or he is not deaf. What I do care is that my problem still remains. So as far as I'm still being pressed by this situation, I will never stop praying. Never stop praying. If this judge, you know, she said, I don't care about God, I don't care about man. But I see continuously coming of this woman. She will get me tired. So I'm going to avenge her. And he did. And the Lord said, how much more, even the unjust judge, how much more your heavenly Father who loves you so much that you keep coming and praying that the Lord is not going to answer your prayer. God will answer your prayer no matter how long it takes. God will answer your prayer no matter how long it takes. So don't give up. Continue. It's a spiritual principle. God loves us, and he loves us dearly. Number three, channel of deliverance by prayer is that we are delivered from adverse circumstances by prayer. We are delivered by adverse circumstances from adverse circumstances by prayer. Adverse circumstances are the wicked circumstances. Programs of the devil. The program, they sit down at their round table of wickedness. The last time they came, they did not succeed. So they go back to strategize. We use the husband, it didn't work. This time, let's go by that son. We use the daughter, it didn't work. This time, let's go by the wife. We use her finances, it didn't work. This time, let's go by her health. They sit down and they strategize. God is telling you that it is by prayer that you overcome this type of situation. Watch this, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 12 and the verses 5 to 18. I'm going to read this quickly and then we will explain. Apostle Peter was kept in prison by Herod. When Peter was in prison, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for Peter. Peter was in prison. The church started praying. The church started praying. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. So let's explain this. King Herod had already killed the man of God. And now he saw that his deeds were pleasing the Jews. So he got hold of Peter. And he put Peter in prison waiting right after Easter to kill Peter. The day, the night Peter was sleeping, the following day he was bringing Peter out to execute Peter. But the church was standing and praying for Peter that was in prison. This is why the church of the living God has to be indeed the house of the Lord, and the house of the Lord is called the house of what? Prayer. Said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Because when the people of God stand in the church and they are constantly praying, you are praying not only for yourselves, but also for others. If you are not praying for others, you are in sin. Pray for people that are afflicted. We might know them, we don't know them, but God knows them. And we continuously praying for them. We are praying. Somebody is locked in spiritual prison. Apostle Paul is in prison, chained. Not, you know, look at how wicked. The man is already in prison. Not only he's in prison, he's in prison with two more soldiers to watch him in the prison, without counting the ones that are outside the door of the prison. They don't want this man to go under no circumstance at all cost. You lock the man in prison, your prison is already secured. Why do you need to put two more soldiers to watch the man in the prison? So the soldiers were also in the prison. And not only that, others were just at the door. Peter should not escape under no condition. But the angel of the Lord showed up in that night. Verse 7, he said, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And the angel smote Peter on the side, and he raised him up. He raised him up, saying, arise. He said, rise up quickly. Rise up quickly. And the moment that he said that, his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, guide thyself, bind up thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed the angel, and wist not that which was true, which was done by the angel, but thought it was what? A vision. The man could not believe it. He thought that it was just a vision. This man was locked. Suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared in great light. And he was given commandments to Peter. Peter, stand up. The moment he said, Peter, stand up, automatically the chains fell off. My question is, where are those soldiers? Where are they? Where are they? Where are those soldiers that are keeping Peter? Peter, now get yourself together. Put your garment. Don't forget your belt. Put on your shoes. We are going. Praise the Lord. I am telling you, anyone that is locked in any form of prison, by the prayer of the saints, be delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. Wherever that they have locked your destiny, locked your children, locked your life, and they said that there is no way that you will come out, by the means of the angels commanded by the living God, you will be delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. We serve a living God. These things, they are done and recorded for your example, so that you know what your God can do for you. Peter followed the angel, Acts 12:9, and he went out, followed him. Verse 10, he said, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stirred among the soldiers what was before of Peter. Hallelujah. Let me explain this. By the time that Peter dressed, number one, they came out. They came out from the prison. Where are the two soldiers? Powerless. Where are the soldiers at the door? At the door, powerless. He said, not only that, Peter was locked in a prison outside the city with iron gates. Angel did not need any key. By the time they were coming, the gates opened by their own accord. The gates opened by their own accord. You will not be delivered by the hand of any man. You shall be delivered by the power of the living God. Every iron gates, anything that they have set to lock you, when the Lord will come to your rescue, it has no power over the living God. Has no power. The gates hears God. Gates hears God. They don't even need the angel to say anything. By their own accord, let me tell you, by the presence of the living God in your life, every evil gate shall be opened by its own accord in the name of Jesus. Now, by the time they came to find out that Peter was not there, they started creating problems among themselves. They will come to look for you, to kill you. They will come because they know they have snailed you in that prison. By the time they showed up, you will not be there in the mighty name of Jesus. And your escape is going to create commotion among them in the mighty name of Jesus. Because of you, the enemy's sword shall be turned against themselves in the mighty name of Jesus. And it's all done by prayer. Number four channel. He said, we are delivered from ignorance of lack or lack of wisdom by prayer. We are delivered from ignorance or lack of wisdom by prayer. Colossians 1:9, he said, for this cause, we also, Apostle Paul talking, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, the church of Colossus, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. If you are serving this God, he was praying that people will be filled with the knowledge of God and spiritual wisdom to serve God. We need knowledge and wisdom to serve Almighty God. And you see, this is sometimes our children are struggling at schools. Sometimes we ourselves are in a situation where we need wisdom. But hey, pray about it. The Lord will open up your mind and implanted the heavenly wisdom, and you will make the right decisions in the name of Jesus. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge the Lord. Acknowledge God. You know, James 1:5, popular scripture, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. God gives wisdom. He gives wisdom to all men freely. Freely. You have to ask. Number five. We said we have eight of them. Number five, we are delivered from physical sickness and death by means of prayer when God so chooses. We are delivered from sickness and death by means of prayer when God chooses to deliver you. Praise the Lord. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. Sicknesses and diseases, even when they have programmed death over your life, through prayer, the Lord can deliver you. And the Lord will deliver you. Amen. Acts 28, and the verse is 8 and 9. It said, it came to pass that the father of Publius, he lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flu. You see that? Bloody flu. Flu. You know Chicago winter. You know how the flu is, you know, it is so hard that the government even say, come and get flu shot for free. Because they know that it's causing a lot of problems. And this flu, it is a satanic disease. Satanic disease. And the man's dad, Publius' dad, was sick of fever and a bloody flu, to whom Paul entered in and prayed. Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which has diseases in the island, they came and they were all healed. Hallelujah. The man prayed and one healed. So when everyone saw that this is what Paul has done, everyone who has a sick in his home brought them and said, Paul, please lay hands on them. And Paul was praying over all, and all of them were well, they were healed. That is why when we come together, a church has to stand and pray for the sick. We are praying for the sick among us. We are praying for the sick in our areas, in our cities, in our countries, around the world. That is what Faith Victory Ministries is doing constantly every week. And I thank God for the grace over people's life that has been dedicated to this activity. For people's souls out there, we're praying for nursing homes, we're praying for hospitals, we're praying for children, we're praying for so many that are completely helpless. And our prayers are working. Hallelujah. Prayers are working. The Lord is delivering his people through prayer. Sicknesses. Come, you say that anyone that has been tied down by sickness in the name of Jesus, every power who has listed anybody unto death, Father, deliver them. And the Lord is doing it. The Lord is doing it. So your work is not in vain. Hallelujah. It is Christ-like. What you are doing here, you have been chosen for this. And this is a wonderful grace. Praise the Lord. We thank God for his mighty hand over our lives. Now watch this. James 5 and the verses 13 to 17. The word commanded us. He said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If you are afflicted, you have to pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. So in other words, if you are happy, sing unto the glory of the living God. Is any sick among you? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. He said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed any sin, they shall be forgiven. So confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we thank God for such scriptures. You see how the church is moving. You see how the body of Christ is strengthened. It is the people that are standing one for another. It is the people that have standing that are standing for one another. We have to pray for each other. When you are afflicted, pray. If there is any sick among us, please call the church. Let us know. We will come and pray for you. Not only we are praying here from the church for you at night, but we are also moving around and praying because we go there, we lay hand on them by the anointing oil, and we pray. And the Lord said that the prayer, he said, the prayer of faith of the saints shall heal them. And we have seen this happening over and over and over and over. We can testify that indeed this is the word of God. It's the word of the living God. Some of these things that when we are doing them, people think that it's just church ritual. No, it is not church ritual. It is not. Because that is how the Lord is using these things to deliver people from the afflictions. From the afflictions. Could you believe that one night that you felt so lazy and you are not coming, someone might die because of you? Could you believe that as you are enlisted in the army of the Lord, the prayer warriors, the Lord is seeing you as someone. You standing there, someone is going through difficult situation. Someone has been programmed to die. But you have no idea. And the Lord is waiting for your prayers to deliver that person. What a wonderful ministry. What a mighty ministry. Prayer of the saints. He said, it availeth much. It saves souls. Thank you, my Lord. Number six. We are delivered from needs by means of prayer. By means of prayer. We are delivered from needs by means of prayer. James 4 and the verses 6. The word of God says, 6 and 7, he said, resist the proud. God resist the proud. But God giveth grace unto the humble. So that submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You have to submit yourselves unto God, pray to resist the devil that, you know, you have to pray to resist the devil that is fighting against your needs, and he will flee from you, and then you have all that the Lord God has purposed for your life. So many of them, packages are coming for them, but they are careless about prayers. And it's just being taken away. The enemy is resisting their lives for you to succeed, for you to have this, for you to have that. And they keep on standing against their lives. So for you to have this breakthrough, you're going to have to break me through. Otherwise, you won't. So if a man is not having understanding that life just don't go like that, it does not go like that. It doesn't. There is a spiritual principle. If God knows this, why is, you know, he has predestinated you for sure. But he said that even though your heavenly father knows what your needs are, still you have to ask him. The Lord knows. So God, if you know, why are you doing this to me? God is not doing anything to you. The spiritual understanding that you need to have those things. Do what the Lord asks you to do. Do you know what is going on in your area? Principalities and powers. We are at battle over here. It's a battlefield. If you are careless, you go out anyhow, you'll be killed. You'll be killed. And many, they fell victims because of lack of knowledge. Fell victims. Stand and pray and save your life. Stand and pray and save your children's life. Stand and pray and save your marriage. Stand and pray and save your finances. Stand and pray and save your life. Number seven, and we have only one more to go afterwards. He said, we are delivered from unbelievers by means of prayer. Isn't that amazing? We are delivered from unbelievers, by means of prayer. Romans 5, the verses 30 to 33. Apostle Paul wrote, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. You see that? Pray that I may be delivered from them that do not believe. We have people, they are not sharing the same faith. As a result of that, they are there to discourage you of being saved. And they are around. And if you have a circle of those type of people, these are the ones that are having their, you know, their bottles of beer and said that this is what is called life. If you are not strong enough in your faith, they will cause you to fall. So you have to pray, because this is a friend. Yeah, of course, it's a friend. But they don't share the same faith, and they are always questioning you. You and this church thing. You and this prayer thing. Last night, we were at that party. By the time that you were praying, he said, oh, where were you last night? He said, oh, I was in the prayer meeting. He said, hey, you prayer. If you only you knew how much fun we had last night. And then they would stand there demonstrating how the whole thing was, and the whiskey and everything else. Discouragement. Oppression of the devil. If you are not strong enough, he said, when is the next one? He said, it's on the 28th. Oh, okay, that night I'm not working. I will come and see. Discouragement. The next thing you know, they cause you to fall. Pray so that you will keep your faith. You have nothing against no one, but you have everything against yourself. Make sure you keep your salvation. Keep it. And the last one, and we are done. Number 8. We are delivered from Satan by means of our prayer. We are delivered from Satan by means of our prayer. Praise the Lord. You know, the book of Ephesians, that we know it very well, Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18, you have to read the whole chapter so that you get a clear understanding. You know, the wrestling and all that, he said, finally, verse 10, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How do you get to be strong in the Lord? By putting on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You may be able to stand. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why is that? Because we wrestle. We are wrestling. We are fighting. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So everything is listed just right here. And at the end of it all, the conclusion is that you have to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Hallelujah. That is how we fight our battles. That is how we fight our battles. Someone came in to tell me, you know, I was on phone with someone, and then as we were talking, and the person was hearing it. So by the time I hung up the phone, the man said, so these things are true. I thought that by the time that I came from, you know, I traveled from Africa by crossing the sea to America, these things, they can't follow me anymore. Who told you that devil is afraid of sea? First of all, the guy is not even living here. His domain is second heavens. And he's a busy guy. He goes everywhere. The Lord asked, he said, where are you coming from? He said, I have been moving up and down. So his job, he's a very busy guy. You came by plane, and you think that devil needs plane to come. He does not. He doesn't. He's not moving by the means of ship or anything. And see, it's amazing how people can have such a misconception. How can you believe that you're moving from one place to another by crossing the sea, that devil cannot, where you are going, do you think devil is not there? Are they not human beings? Are you going to live among animals? No. And as far as you are going to live among people, you have to know that Satan is after souls. And wherever that they are, it does not matter. All that matters for him is to cause them to fall. May the Lord God give you grace. May the Lord give you power to understand this principle of life, so that you will be able to live. Keep your children in the ways of the Lord. Train them so that when they grow up, they will not depart from the Lord. May the Lord bless you, and for your life to glorify God, or to him alone be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You just received a word from Pastor Charles Entry at Faith Victory Ministries International. For more messages and other great resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, please be sure to visit us at faithvictoryministries.org. That's faithvictoryministries.org. And may God continue to bless you.